Kent, we are out here on a beautiful day and what's going to end up being a really hot day in a lovely field on Top Acres Farm in South Woodstock.
This is probably one of the biggest hay fields I've been in a long time. It is gorgeous because we can see all the mountains around us with this fine view across what I think are vast hay fields. And
wait, if you listen closely, you can hear the reason that we're here.
Bobolinks. This is a beautiful, amazing songbird that graces our fields every summer where it likes to breed.
And so if you're walking around in huge fields like we're in right now, and you listen and you hear something that sounds like R2-D2, that's a bobolink.
And the great thing about these things is they've come from about as far away as they can come. They've been wintering probably in Argentina, and they've flown the whole way here to breed.
We're here on their breeding grounds, and we are with a grassland bird expert and our co-worker, Rosalyn Renfrew.
Thanks, Roz,
for coming.
Hi,
guys. Thanks for coming.
So, Roz, what is the plight about these birds? I mean, I know there's not a lot of grasslands left in Vermont. These hay fields are precious, but what's the big deal about bobolinks?
Yeah, so bobolinks, we still have a lot of them around, and most of them are actually in the Midwest. The East Coast didn't always have a ton of them, although we think they were always around here to some extent. But they've been tanking throughout their range. We've lost about half the global population of bobolinks in the last 50 years or so. And so people have become concerned, and one of the reasons they've been tanking is because they're losing their habitat. A lot of their habitat out in the Midwest gets converted to agricultural crops. And then also, agriculture has become more intensified. People hay more frequently and earlier than they used to, and that makes it really tough for bobolinks to pull off raising chicks.
When you say that out in the Midwest, a lot of the land has been converted to agricultural crops, mm-hmm. bobolinks can't nest in that, right?
That's right. It's funny. Bobolinks have this interesting relationship with farming because they really rely on it. You know, they used to be a bird of the prairie, and now they nest in hay fields for the most part and pastures that are really lightly grazed. And so they really need farmland in a sense, but it's got to be the right kind of farmland. It can't be corn or soybean. They won't nest in that stuff. But a nice big hay field like this one that we're in, yeah, that's the good stuff.
And so that leads us to the issue that you were talking about, and that is agricultural intensification, and that is increased mowing on these hay fields.
Right. So these hay fields are great for them, but a lot of farmers need to mow the hay beginning, you know, early June, and then they'll mow it 2-3 times a summer. And that makes it hard for bobolinks to raise their young. They need several weeks to build a nest, lay their eggs, incubate, and get them off so they can fly well enough to escape the mowers.
Haying is one of the issues that keeps these birds from being able to fledge their young. And so Vermont Center for Eco Studies is partnering with a lot of other organizations to talk to farmers and to see about if they can change some of their management practices to help these birds fledge and other grassland birds fledge. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so, you know, we're talking to people who have some flexibility. You know, if you're a dairy farmer, it's really hard to give up your mowing because you need this high-quality protein hay. And if you let it go too long, the protein goes down. But other people who maybe aren't in dairy have more flexibility. They might be growing forage for horses. They might be growing it for beef. And they might have a little more flexibility with that, and they can put off and delay their mowing. So we're working with a lot of landowners who have some flexibility, and we're also, for those with less flexibility, we're linking them up with tools and resources that might help them compensate financially for delaying mowing when they need that as well. So Mary and Carl McQuaig are the owners of Top Acres Farm, and they're involved with this program that we've started.
We're very fortunate in our hay market is mainly horse hay, and that allows us to delay the cutting a little longer. We generally will start cutting in late June, early July, which would be very late for the dairy farmers, but works very well for horses and for the bobolinks. The hay is drier and it gives the bobolinks a little more chance to be ready. We'll start around the edges of our field where there are not many nests, and by the time we get to the nesting area it'll be late July, and we'll watch and give the bobolinks as much time as they can to be on their way.
So you're actually watching where they congregate in this field, and so you kind of know where the hot spots are.
We yeah. walk the field twice almost every day, and we just love watching the bobolinks and learning about them, and it's been fun.
To me, like I said earlier, it's always magical when they return to think how far they've come.
Yes.
The whole way back here to Vermont.
It's
from
amazing.
That far.
Yeah. It's just an arduous journey they make twice a year, fraught with all kinds of pitfalls and danger along the way, and to end up here right on schedule in early May every year is phenomenal.
These guys are taking the extra step. They are not only doing management to benefit the birds, they've also come to a training we did to show them how to count their bobolinks, how to keep track of exactly how many there are from one year to the next, to not only gain an appreciation of just how much good they're doing, but to help us gather information for research. And so they're contributing to science at the same time that they're managing for these birds.
Wow,
it's amazing.
That is cool.
Well, and these are pretty endearing little birds, too. Aside from listening to them, they're very active, and they'll pop up from the field, and you can see them fly around. And they're also, they're pretty birds. Yeah. They're just really nice to look at. They're black, and they've got a little yellow skull cap on the back of their head, the males do. And
their song is happy, and you're interested in hearing it, and you go, wow, that bird is a happy, excited bird, and what is that? And it just builds from there.
And that's great.
They draw you in. The curiosity draws you in.
But you know, Ross, I wanted to go back to something that you mentioned earlier, and that is that the decline in bobolinks, and that's the whole reason that we're out here talking about them. You said that half their population is gone in the last 50 years?
Yeah, and a lot of that has happened in the Northeast. It's just that we seem to value our pastoral landscapes with the fields and the views, and also we still have agriculture here, so why don't we make the best of it? Because these birds are declining everywhere, why don't we help them wherever we can? If we have fields and the owners can do something, let's make the most of it and help out the overall population.
Well, thanks a lot for having us out here. It's been great seeing your management practices in this big field full of bobolinks.
It's great to have you guys.
And Roz, thank you for coming out here and talking to us about their natural history and telling us a little bit about their decline.
Yeah, thanks for spreading the word, you guys.
I'm Sarah Zahendra.
And I'm Ken McFarland.
Thanks for listening to Outdoor Radio.
I think we can go find a nest. Let's go find a nest, Roz.
It's going to take all day, Ken.